Mini-episode 1746 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at Sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1746. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris coming at you today. And we have a great feature. This is something that we do every year. It is our 2024 college football preview for the season. And the gentleman that we have had on to do these previews with us over the years, he is one of our very valued dignitaries in the FDH Lounge. He is sports writer Fran Stuckberry from R Sports Central. And this guy watches more football at more different levels than just about anybody that I know. And it is always a privilege to be able to have him on to break down everything from his perspective and this landscape of college football. We talked about it last year. This feels like part two of a two-year analysis, because last year we were saying, this is it. This is sort of the end of the millennium, if you will. It felt like the 1999, if you're just looking at that in terms of college football, in terms of, you know, this century ends, the next one begins. That's kind of what it felt like last year, as far as all the changes that were going to be coming, the consolidation with the conferences, the end of the four-team playoff, which is something that I wanted, quite frankly, long before there was a four-team playoff. I always thought four teams was the perfect number, but I will say with 12, as much as I have decried what I think is going to be the watering down of the regular season, I do think on second glance here that the consolidation into these mega conferences, you are going to have meaningful games week after week after week, because teams will be playing their way into the field and playing their way out of the field. So again, we talked about all of this last year. It's the end of the world as we know it. Now it's the beginning of the new world as we know it. And for that, we bring on my good friend, Fran Stuckberry. Fran, welcome to the FDH Lounge. Great to have you in as always.
Great to be happy to hear Rick talking college football and having fun breaking it down with you.
Yes, always a pleasure to have you on. And everything that's going on this year, you know, we've talked about this. And again, it's not like, I don't mean to phrase this in terms of like last year, everything was completely different this year. We move on to something completely new, because we've had for a couple of years, we've had NIL, we've had the transfer portal, we've had other factors that have kind of played into this that have changed the landscape. In other words, if you look at college football last year to this year, it's more recognizable of a landscape than 5 years ago or 6 years ago to right now because of those factors. But then again, it is something where it came to a critical mass in part because of those factors. This was sort of a culmination point, it seems like, in the off season with NIL, with the transfer portal, with everything the coaches are having to deal with right now. Enough of them just saying, to heck with this, I'm going to go off and do something else. Nick Saban, very shockingly, at Alabama. Jim Harbaugh, much less shockingly, at Michigan, taking the big money from the Chargers and skipping out ahead of the NCAA charges that he knew were coming. So you have all these things happening where, again, the landscape this year, like I said, there are more similarities style-wise in the game and the fabric of the game from last year to this year than from 5 years ago to right now. But in terms of the format of the playoffs, in terms of what that means, in terms of the mega conferences, the end of old rivalries getting played out every year and the beginning of brand new rivalries and conferences coming into play this year, in that sense, it is a very drastic change.
It's an exciting time for college football. Attendance is up. TV ratings are going to be going through the roof. And now with the 12-team playoff, Rick, you're going to have teams that don't have to be in it. You know, that you can be at the top 25 and still get into that 12-team playoff. The getting in there is going to be easier than it was ever before.
And what we come to now is the weekend of the college championship games What that essentially serves is as the seating, or a good part of the seating, if you will, because again, the committee is going to be able to, in the end, slot the teams where they want to slot them. But the four byes will automatically go to conference winners, and the big conferences, that is. And that is something where FDH Director of Research Nate Noy pointed this out about 2 years or so ago when they were talking about moving to this system. You're going to be looking at a system where, again, the losers of probably the SEC championship game and the Big Ten championship game, those will probably be the fifth and sixth seeds, and they will be strong favorites probably in the second round over the Big 12 and ACC champions that will get a bye through the first round. So that's where it gets to be consequential. You lose the SEC and the Big Ten championship game, that means you're going to be playing at home in the first round of the playoffs, hosting a lower seed for the chance to move into the quarterfinals, which will now be taking place over the New Year holiday. So the we now see the former Big Six, Power Six games, whatever they were called previously, getting folded in now to the playoff. And then subsequently you'll have the semifinals with the bowl games later in January and then the national championship game. That will actually be on Inauguration Day next year, January 20th, interestingly enough, from Atlanta. But you're looking at a situation now where if you lose the Big 12 or the ACC championship game, you may or may not make the field. I have my predictions out as to who's going to make it and who's not going to, and I have the loser of one of those games not making the field. And then, of course, you have the group of five. You're going to have those conferences fighting it out for one guaranteed spot. It will almost certainly be the 12th seed, probably. And so how this all plays out during the season, building up to the championship weekend, the fabric of this is just very much different than what we've seen before.
Definitely, Rick, because the thing is, you can have two, maybe three losses and still get into the playoffs. The thing is, this year, Rick, it's crucial, these non-conference games for the ACC and Big 12, because they need to, they think they want a second team in that playoff, and I don't think it's going to happen, but they're going to have, they need that, the recipe, the resume of work, other schools being to help that plight, Rick.
Exactly, and that's where, again, going to have to win those non-conference games, going to have to, in the ACC, and I think in particularly the Big 12, with the depth of teams in there, Big 12 doesn't have greatness, but they have a lot of very goodness, if you will. And they have just week after week after week, and I want to give credit to an observation from CBS Sports. There's a very good ranking of the conferences for this year that was done by Will Backus, and it's still up there, I believe, on the main page at CBS Sports in their college football section. And he says week to week, the Big 12 is just going to have a lot of games that you're going to want to be watching because it's all teams that are basically on the same tier that are fighting to be able to make it in to the conference championship game, because in the Big 12 and in the ACC, you must be at least in the conference championship game if you think you're going to make the playoffs. So to get one of those spots and then in their minds, hopefully make it to the playoff regardless of win or lose, even though obviously they'll be out to win their conferences.
Well, Rick, in order for the Big 12 and ACC teams, they want a second team, Rick, but the thing is, they're going to have to win these non-conference games. There's some intriguing matches that we'll discuss when we go into the conferences, but they have to you know, win. I mean, otherwise, whoever the winner of those conference championship games going to make the playoff, and the other team's going to be playing the bowl game, a regular bowl game instead.
That is true. And when you go to look at this again, the group of five, I have right now as my team coming out of the group of five conferences making the playoff, I have it being Memphis. I see them coming out of the AAC, and again, they have 17 starters coming back from a team that won 10 games last year, and the AAC has been a very, very strong conference in the group of five the last couple of years. Of course, again, you have other contenders as well. You know, you have Boise State, the perennial contender out of the Mountain West. They're a team that has made some major bowl games over the years. The Sun Belt, sometimes known as the Fun Belt. You have teams that have really made some noise the last couple of years, like James Madison and Troy. You have Conference USA, which is maybe not quite what it used to be, but Liberty has been a very strong team, and they made the Fiesta Bowl last year. Then you have, of course, the Mid-American Conference. as well as Toledo and the hated Miami team as well, Bowling Green and Northern Illinois. So all of the teams I mentioned and potentially at least one or two others will be in the mix for that playoff spot, in all likelihood the 12 seed, Fran.
Well, Rick, I'm going to go with Boise State for my pick in the Mountain West. They have a returning running back that's pretty solid. The thing is, Rick, let's just hope the State Liberty doesn't make that 12-team playoff. They got humiliated in that bowl game last year against Oregon. I mean, I'd rather have a team that's, you know, more a little bit more established that has a history of winning games than Liberty getting in there and getting clobbered. That's a game I'll go mow the lawn instead of watching that game.
Yeah, and that's a thing where, again, the committee is tasked with looking at the body of work for the season, but you can't tell me that's not in their heads. You can't tell me they're not thinking, oh, man, if we put them in there and we get a repeat of last year, then that would be bad. And what's funny is my guess is that the 12 seed game is going to be one of the ones that is up against the NFL games. You and I have talked about this off air. Yes, because very, very smart thing by ESPN. Now, we have a thing where the platform that ESPN/Disney was putting together with Warner Brothers Discovery and Fox Sports/Fox is now on hold, this venue streaming platform where you were going to be getting the sports streaming services together, but because of a lawsuit by FUBU, FUBU doesn't have a TV network, but there is a lawsuit that is temporarily putting that on hold. And but they are business partners, at least on paper, theoretically going forward, of course, Turner Sports and ESPN. So when the word came out that ESPN, which bought up the sole rights to the playoffs, that they were going to be selling off some of the other games, you knew it was going to be to their partners. It was either going to be to Fox Sports or it was going to be to Warner Brothers Discovery / Turner Sports. And lo and behold, the two games they got, just as I predicted to you, are up against the NFL games the weekend before Christmas, because the NFL's looking at it like, hey, pal, possession is 9/10 of the law. We've always been parked here having Saturday games once the regular season and the college football conference championships are done in the Army-Navy game, which, by the way, the Army-Navy game this year will also be the same weekend as some of the bowl games prior to the start of the college football playoffs the next weekend, the weekend before Christmas. So ESPN's got their nice, comfy Friday night, Saturday night playoff games, no competition from the NFL. The games they sold off to Turner Sports, you guessed it, like you said, right up against the NFL, and those are going to be some doozies. You've got some really good games that the NFL is throwing in that spot there. So it's going to be a real competition for eyeballs, and most people, I among them, will just be going back and forth between the games that afternoon. But maybe channel surfing a little less if it's the 12 seed and if it's Liberty and if they're really getting their doors blown off, Fran.
Well, definitely, Rick. While we're on the group of five, how about the group of five commissioners going to meet in Dallas this week about possibly having their own little playoff? Like, they refer to it as NIT football, Rick. You love your Ohio State Bobcats. Would you get excited about them playing in that playoff?
Well,
yes or no?
I will forgive you the slip of the tongue, Fran, the Ohio Bobcats. Please don't ever call us Ohio State. Listen, anything they win, you betcha. I'll be up for anything because, again, bowl wins have been tough to come by for us historically over the years. Conference championships, we have certainly celebrated the bowl wins that we've had. So I think that actually makes sense. I think it makes a fair amount of sense to do something like that and to fold some of the remaining bowl games into something like this. I had thought, by the way, and I think it's a mistake not to have incorporated bowl games into the first round of the new NCAA championship. I think having it be first round games, you know, I said to my dad, he's a season ticket holder, albeit generally at this point, he just sells the tickets at face value to his friends for most of the games. And I said to him, I said, how would you feel about being in Ohio Stadium plus or minus December 20th, 21st, whatever, watching a game? And he just kind of glared at me. So I think a lot of people are going to have the same kind of reaction to this, and that you probably should have just incorporated those into existing bowl games.
Yeah, but like I say, Rick, I mean, you'll have a intriguing weather might be a factor for some of these teams. Guess the team might have to play in freezing cold weather at Penn State or if Iowa State's in there. Come on, that might be fun. The only thing I want, Rick, is regardless of what happens, I hope these Big Ten teams, they don't just move the game to a dome like Indianapolis or something. I hope you just let the weather have fun. Maybe that'll help the teams. We shall see. But it's going to be exciting. I mean, if I'm not going to try to not work, I'm going to try to be home that day with his three college football playoff games I can watch. And I'll watch those games. How I tend to do it, Rick, with college football games in general, I tend to challenge them. I watch the games, and then when games get close, I zero in on them.
Yeah, I think there's going to be an awful lot for football fans to be feasting on during that period of time. The triple header for the college football playoff, an NFL doubleheader going on during the day parts. So it's going to be something that is going to be a very memorable day looking back on this in the years to come. Of course, it'll keep happening in the years to come unless the NFL backs off and allows that Saturday to go uncontested, which I highly doubt. This is the NFL. Roger Goodell needs to primarily bully just about any other sports entity that he can to establish the NFL's superiority. Witness the Netflix Christmas setup that they're doing from here on in. But before we start looking at the major conferences here, what I want to touch on is a Saturday that's going to affect a couple of the major conferences in particular. You and I both have October 12th circled on the calendar, and I want to note that for some of the things I'm going to be referencing from here on in, go to, on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com, Fantasy Football Draftology 2024, available on the main page. Just click on it on the main page. Pages 15 and 16, we have some college football coverage here because, of course, our guide is always a mix of fantasy and non-fantasy coverage. And I have a ranking of the top 25 games for the regular season. Four of them fall on what will be a very, very special October 12th. Number two on my list for the year, surpassed only by number one, Georgia at Alabama, September 28th. On October 12th, Ohio State at Oregon. I'm guessing that that's either a late afternoon or prime time game. First ever conference matchup between these powers. And again, we'll talk about this a little more when we get to the Big Ten. But when you look at the sanctions that might be coming Michigan's way, Ohio State and Michigan will always be the biggest rivalry in the Big Ten. And it might sound like a mouthful when I'm saying this for the team that lost the last three versions of that rivalry, but the most consequential rivalry potentially in the years to come in the Big Ten might be this one, Ohio State and Oregon. We see them mix it up as conference foes for the first time October 12th. Number seven on our list, it's the Red River Shootout, Oklahoma, Texas at Dallas. Played during the Texas State Fair. That's always one of the biggies of the year. First time as an SEC matchup. Also on that day, a couple of bigger ones, Mississippi at LSU, and also first time as a conference matchup, number 22 on our list, Penn State at USC. So we got a lot of biggies on that day. That is going to be the most consequential Saturday of the regular season, and that's when things are really going to start shaking out as far as who is set up best for the stretch run of the regular season, Fran.
That's going to be an awesome day. If you don't have to work, just watch college football all day and relax. Rick, if anyone has a wedding that day, I wouldn't go.
Well, the nice thing is, as somebody who's been at different events over a period of time and not wanted to watch something that's going on, today, with the phones, with the ability to stream stuff, you're never truly out of the loop on any of these things. So that's what's nice.
You can bring earbuds too. Earbuds too. You can listen to. You can have an earbud at a wedding if you're bored out of your mind and listen to it on a radio.
That's right. I mean, we've come a long, long, long way since the Ohio State Texas game of years past, when one of my close buddies was getting married and sneaking out to the car every once in a while to listen on the car. We've come a long, long ways technologically from then. And in the ACC, as I use my segue abilities here, a team that's come a long, long, long way in terms of coming back is Florida State. It was sort of a false alarm for a couple of years. They're on their way back. They're going to be back to where they used to be. Well, last year they were for real and had a heck of a season. And again, they were a little bit butthurt about getting jumped for the college football playoff. But then you see what happened in the bowl game there. Things didn't work out so well. But Florida State is back to where they used to be. Interestingly enough, Clemson the last two or three years has not been quite where they were, which was sort of the co-number one team in the country for a couple of years there, along with Alabama. It was really the frickin' frack type situation between them for overall supremacy. Now Clemson is clawing just to be number one in the ACC. Miami, it's already getting to be a critical point here for this administration at Miami. Are they going to be the ones to be able to turn it around? I've got them ranked third in the conference this year. You have some other teams right behind them in my estimation: North Carolina State, Louisville, SMU. Maybe even Georgia Tech as a sleeper. I don't see them making the conference playoff. But by the way, speaking of conference playoff, all these conferences now, that's another change this year. It's the one and the two teams in the conference. No more divisional crap, which is nice. You're going to get the best two teams playing on that weekend. So the ACC, they don't have great depth in terms of really, really excellent teams, Fran. But they have some powerful teams at the top, and they will be jockeying to make it to the ACC championship game. And I think it's going to take the winning that game to make the playoff, because I only have one ACC team in the playoff this year.
Well, right now, Rick, you're going to have a big matchup during the season, Florida State and Clemson. That's a regular season matchup. That might be an actual ACC recap, championship matchup recap. Again, two times in a row. Miami, I got to see it when I believe. They're playing Florida week one. They better win that game, Rick. I mean, they spent all this money, NIL. They have to see it to believe it. As far as, Louisville, the guy I liked, you know, a guy we remember, Jeff Brom. I mean, I interviewed him when he was the quarterback for the Orlando Rage in the NFL. He played quarterback for Louisville. He's going to have an exciting, fun offense. I think they'll be fun. They'll put up a lot of points on the board. SMU, they're fun. They spent millions of dollars to please get me in the ACC, and like 10 years later they'll get some money out of it. They might be a team that'd be fun to watch. That fits the landscape. Texas. That's I'm glad SMU, with all the death penalties they had decades ago, Rick, they're finally back on top. As far as like my team, the NCAA Wolfpack, the one big game I want to go to, but unfortunately I'm working, is when they play a team we like, Rick, in Charlotte, Tennessee. Yeah. They'll be a fun team to watch. The Wolfpack, they got Grayson McCall, the transfer quarterback from Coastal Carolina. They'll be an exciting team to watch. As far as their rival, North Carolina, if North Carolina has another dud year, this is going to be Mac Brown's swan song. He can relax and just do TV for ESPN again. And one of the worst teams in the league, Stanford. Remember a couple years ago, they were great in the Pac-12. Now they're terrible. Now they're picked to finish last, Rick, in California. I mean, they're as my bucks to give you a fortune, Rick.
Yeah, and this is one of the things that I like saying out loud, because it never fails to make me giggle. This season, we are welcoming California and Stanford to the Atlantic Coast Conference.
It's crazy. I mean, it really is crazy with that. But hey, man, Stanford is good in every other sport besides football, Rick. You know that?
Yeah.
You know, college basketball, women's basketball, they're good in all these other non-major sports.
Yes.
They dominate all these other sports. And Cal is an interesting situation where their coach is on the hot seat, but the problem is, Rick, you're spending a fortune on your athletic budget got thrown up, so what are you going to do? I mean, who are you going to find to replace him? Well, we shall see.
Well,
because with his situation,
you know, and this is just a snapshot in time, so I don't know if there's any correlation. But now with NIL being king, you look at some of the strongest schools in the conference academically: Wake Forest 15 in my projections, Duke 16, Stanford 17. Can't help but wonder if the strongest schools academically are going to be the ones getting left behind in this era. I will say Stanford and California being refugees from the Pac-12, and we'll talk a little more about them with the Big 12 up next, because there's a lot more refugees from the conference there. Another thing that I like to joke about, this is number 25 on my list of big games for this year. The Pac-12 game of the year is literally the Pac-12 game of the year, Washington State at Oregon State, November 23rd. They are in some kind of a arrangement with the Mountain West for most of their other games this season. Medium to long term, it looks like they're going to let the Mountain West use the Big 12 name, or I'm sorry, the Pac-12 name. It's not going to fool anybody. It's not going to be the Pac-12 the way that we used to remember it back in the day, i.e. prior to June of this past year. But yeah, so you've got all of that coming up to look forward to, the one Pac-12 game of the year. The Big 12, again, they got a lot of these schools that have moved over there. The Arizona schools, Arizona and Arizona State, moved over. Of course, Utah, Colorado. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how that shakes out. Colorado, I'm just going to say as a brief note, there was a story that popped that drew some attention in Athlon Sports in the last week or so. My understanding coming out of there is that there is more to come on some of these stories here, which it would be kind of shocking if that weren't the case, I suppose, with one of Deion Sanders' sons in a bankruptcy case right now and some of these other things that are swirling. But I have Colorado picked for 11th in the conference. But again, I think the big rivalry for this season is going to be, and I have this down as one of the games of the year, because I think it's going to be very, very significant. No real ties between these schools previously in terms of any type of rivalry or anything like that, but they seem like the two best teams right now. On September 21st, the number 23 game of the year, in my estimation, Utah at Oklahoma State. I think the winner of that game has the inside track on making the Big 12 championship game. But again, to go back to what we said before, on a week-in, week-out basis, in terms of teams trying to qualify to be one of the two teams to make the Big 12 championship, you have those two teams, but there's not much that separates them from the teams behind them. There are going to be so many really good, really impactful Big 12 games between teams that are fairly evenly mixed, evenly matched. The next couple of teams I have behind them in this order are Arizona, Kansas, Kansas State, West Virginia, UCF, Iowa State, TCU, Texas Tech, down to Colorado at 11. The games between all of those teams there are going to be really, really, really interesting, and you're going to be getting at least a couple of them just about every week of the season, Fran.
Rick, it seems like those Big 12 teams are going to cannibalize themselves.
Yes.
I think Utah's going to end up being on top. I think they're going to bounce back, get back on track. And Rick, for some reason, when Utah tends to get into the bowl games, they tend to win. So it wouldn't shock me if Utah does that. As far as like Oklahoma State, as much as I love their coach, I mean, he's so passionate. They still don't win. They still don't still haven't won a championship.
Yeah.
You know, still haven't won a championship. I mean, he's passionate. He played a quarterback at Oklahoma State, but they still haven't done much of any big wins. As far as Kansas State, that's another team to keep an eye on. Arizona is intriguing because they'll be good. They'll win games. They'll definitely be a contender for that spot. As far as Kansas, that's another team. Like, what a job! They're one of the worst teams in the league in college football, and now they're, you know, playing well, getting the bowl games, and doing well. As far as Colorado, watch out week one, North Dakota State. That's that FCS powerhouse. If they lose that game, they're in big trouble. Then week two against Nebraska, that's a huge game for the Big Ten and the Big 12. You need those type of games. That's going to be a fun game to watch where both teams really need to win that game, Rick.
Yes. And we're going to have this week after week after week of games that are must-win games for certain teams. And I think you're right. I think there's going to be a lot of cannibalizing of teams during the season here. And my guess is, in the end, that's what sets us up for a Utah-Oklahoma State rematch in the Big 12 championship game. And spoiler alert, looking a little ahead to later in the show, I do have Utah and Oklahoma State both making the playoff. So we move on to the two.
One more thing before we move on to Big 12, a coach on the hot seat to keep an eye on is Dave Aranda at Baylor.
Yes.
I mean, a couple years ago, they won the conference. Now they're struggling. But the problem is he has a big buyout. So you really have to see if Baylor can recruit and do better. That's a coach on the hot seat that we might be talking about, you know, when we do our coaches stuff at the end of the season.
Well, yeah, and I've got Baylor as the 13th best team in the conference. So if that's the case, yeah, I don't think he survives moving forward here. So let's move on to the two mega power conferences here, the now 18-team Big Ten. Ohio State, Oregon, we talked about that previously, that matchup. I think that they're going to rematch in the Big Ten championship game. And what's interesting under this new system is that, again, you will have many, many rematches at conference championship games because if the two best teams in the conference happen to play each other during the season, then it's almost guaranteed to happen from there. And then potentially a third match in the playoffs themselves. That could happen. I don't have that happening with Ohio State and Oregon, but I do have them playing twice. Behind them, you've got Michigan, which managed to withstand the recruiting portal, the transfer portal, better than Alabama did when they lost their coach. But all this talk now of sanctions, they had to turn over a good part of their coaching staff because of the guys that Harbaugh took to the Chargers. So you have Michigan, I think, somewhat distantly behind Ohio State and Oregon. Not like drastically behind them, but I do think there's a real line of demarcation from the Big Two down to Michigan, to Penn State, USC, Washington, potentially Nebraska. They could be a team on the way up this year. I've got Wisconsin in that mix. I've got Iowa and Maryland sort of at the periphery of that mix. Penn State is a school that, again, they're going to be very, very, very glad that the divisional setup is gone, because as long as they were dealing with Ohio State and Michigan, and particularly the last couple of years with NIL and the transfer portal, when Ohio State and Michigan took their recruiting to even another level, Penn State has not really been able to keep up. Penn State has not really, in a true sense of the word, been a rival of Ohio State's in the last several years. So now they have a circumstance where they have a chance to sneak into the top two, basically if there's enough chaos in front of them, which there could be in any given year. So Penn State, I see as being one of the big winners out of this setup with the new conference format. And USC, again, I've got them at number five. The defense, always going to be a question with a Lincoln Riley team. But USC is another team that is basically on the periphery. And like I said, Washington as well. They're a team that, again, national championship runners-up a year ago. They really, really, really got poached after the season happened here, but they'll still be in the periphery. And again, even if it is only a conversation piece, I have it as the number four game of the year, Michigan at Washington, October 5th. You don't often get a national championship rematch the next year, much less as what is now a conference game. So the Big Ten is busting at the seams with intrigue this year, Fran.
Oh, it definitely is, Rick. And as far as like Ohio State, Chip Kelly doesn't run that fighting gun as he did in Oregon. So Ohio State's going to be a little bit different team. They're going to be more of a smash-mouth running team than the finesse we saw in his heydays that didn't really work. You know, they work in the NFL. It worked briefly for Oregon. So Chip Kelly, he got tired of all this NIL stuff. He ran out of UCLA and went to have an easy assistant job where you can just focus on coaching and not paying players, Rick. But it's going to be an exciting season. Michigan's a little overranked in the top eight. That's shocking there. Penn State will be a team that will make the 12-team playoff. Watch out for Iowa. If they get in, they can pull upsets. If they get offense, watch out for Iowa if they sneak into that college football playoff. The team I like is Nebraska, but we'll see what happens. Down the road, remember last year, Rick, I said they're going to sneak into the college football playoff. Eventually they will, but watch out for Dylan Raiola. I mean, the phenom freshman. Mm-hmm. If they beat Colorado, they might possibly be 8-1 going up against Ohio, when they go up against Ohio State.
That would watch out for them. Well, that'll be a real clip and save to see if that happens, and that's something where again they might make Ohio State sweat a little bit if indeed that is the case. But yeah, so much going on in the Big Ten this year. There's only one other place where there's as much going on, and that would be the SEC. And you've got, as I said previously, in the estimation of FDH in our guide here, Fantasy Football Draftology 2024, available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com. The number one game of the year, Georgia at Alabama, September 28th. Again, Nick Saban won't be a part of it, so it loses a little bit of luster, but Kalen DeBoer, he did get really poached pretty hard in the portal, but he's a heck of a coach, and I thought it was going to be Dan Lanning taking that job, but they got a really, really, really good one at Alabama, and I think somebody that can sustain the level of success that they've had. But I've actually got Texas as the team that Georgia will be playing in the SEC championship game. And yes, that means it would be a rematch, because our number five game of the year is Georgia at Texas, October 19th. Wow, Texas having to play Georgia the week after Oklahoma. That is a gauntlet. But I do see Texas withstanding it enough to make the SEC championship game. Behind them, a number of really good teams. In this order, in my estimation, Mississippi, Alabama, Missouri, LSU, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas A&M. It is a gauntlet in the SEC. They, like the Big Ten, figure to get multiple teams in the college football playoff here. And Fran, it just in that sense, it's sort of business as usual for the SEC. The overall system changes, but the SEC's place in it doesn't.
Well, Rick, unlike the Big 12, where any small conferences they'll cannibalize, that won't happen. Yes, that won't happen. Yes, Rick. It's gonna be an exciting time with the SEC this year. You have Georgia. So the Georgia Clemson game will be fun to watch week one. You have LSU, USC. If LSU loses that game, Brian Kelly might be the boosters are going to be annoyed at him, Rick, if USC pulls that upset off in Vegas.
Yes, that's our number 14 game for the season, and Clemson versus Georgia at Atlanta, August 31st, our number 10 game of the season. You just noted two very, very big ones right there. And again, as you go on through the course of the season here, again, you've got Georgia and Texas seemingly at the top. But again, this mixture of the teams behind them here, the fact that you go down to probably number 9 Texas A&M, depending on how quickly they can make a turnaround. I mean, their recruiting has been super strong the last couple of years. They haven't been lacking for talent. But that mix of Mississippi, Alabama, Missouri, LSU, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas A&M, we're not even talking about such teams in there as Kentucky, Auburn, Florida, Arkansas. And the situation at Florida is very fraught, as I know you know.
Yeah, I mean, if they lose to Miami week one, I mean, Billy Napier, he has like a $20-25 million buyout. The thing is, Rick, in Florida, even if they do replace it, can they get back to where they were in the heydays? I don't think so, Rick.
Yeah, they've put a lot of hope and money and everything into the direction that they're going in right now, and to put it mildly, it hasn't paid off for them. When you're looking at the power rankings of the state of Florida, if they lose that game, if they have the kind of season I think they're going to have, I have them 13th in the new and improved SEC. You might see Florida tumbling in the state power rankings behind the school with Pitbull Stadium, Fran.
Oh, yeah, FIU, Florida International. The guy likes the $1.2 million 6 years, 5 years plus a vodka license. That's gonna be crazy, Rick. Another coach on the hot seat is Sam Pittman for Arkansas. They were playing great for a little while. They did good, but now they're in trouble. And here's the problem, Rick. When you hire Bobby Petrino as your offensive coordinator, and if this team struggles, they may just replace him. I have no respect for that guy for what he did off the field with his motorcycle cheating gate, but
totally
that's for another show.
Yeah,
but it wouldn't shock me. If this guy struggles, they might just put Petrino and give him that job, Rick.
No, exactly. I think that'll happen because they're going to be looking for the show. I mean, look, if they were all that concerned about appearances of propriety, would they have gone out and basically, spent the GDP of a small country to go hire away, Coach Cal in for the basketball program? So, you know, they're clearly not too concerned with what appearances are based on how they do stuff. I will say also, too, because, again, I have Arkansas ranked 14th here, so I could see it coming to that scenario. I have ranked 11th in the conference, Auburn. And this is a program historically where the boosters don't like a team being down at that point in time for that long. So this is another situation worth keeping an eye on, because it's not like it was previously where it was like, and this I would say it was before the emergence of Georgia, where it was primarily like, well, if you can get past Alabama, if you can get past LSU, maybe you can be the power of the conference. There's any number of teams that are stacked in front of them right now, including a team that we haven't even talked very much about at this point, number 5 in my estimation in this conference, Missouri.
Missouri, Ricky, I mean, watch out for them. I mean, they have a huge game in Alabama, but the thing is, look at the teams they don't play. They play so many non-tough teams that are not on the schedule. They're the type of team that can be dangerous. If they, for some reason, beat Alabama, they could be in the SEC championship, right?
That's very possible. It certainly could come to that. I have the conference championship as being Georgia and Texas. So just to give you some kind of sense of how I would see the playoffs shaking out, here's my estimation of it. First round, number 9, Alabama over number 8, Mississippi. Number 5, Oregon over number 12, Memphis. Number 7, Notre Dame over number 10, Oklahoma State. Number 6, Texas over number 11, Michigan. In the quarterfinals, the Fiesta Bowl, number 1, Georgia over number 9, Alabama. Peach Bowl, number 5, Oregon over number 4, Utah. Rose Bowl, this would be a dandy. Number 2, Ohio State over number 7, Notre Dame. I was at their regular season matchup last year. The Sugar Bowl, number 6, Texas over number 3, Florida State. The semifinals, number 1, Georgia over number 5, Oregon. The Cotton Bowl, they'll be hating this in the state of Ohio. Texas with a de facto home game is the number 6 seed over number 2, Ohio State. And I have Georgia over Texas, a rematch yet again in the national championship game, number 1 over number 6. That's how I see it going, Fran, is Georgia reclaiming its spot atop college football. They had been the dominant force in the sport up until the point in time when they played Alabama late last year. Two undefeated seasons, moving on to what seemed to be a third, albeit they never looked as strong during the course of the season as they did the two previous seasons, and eventually they did stumble. They got back with a vengeance when they played FSU in the postseason. But I have Georgia reclaiming their crown, third championship in 4 years.
Well, I think I'll hold off on judgment until some games play. But, Rick, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Every sports team seems to recede after these playoffs. The college football playoff isn't going to do that this year. So if there's an upset, it's just by bracket. What do you think about that? Should they recede, or should just let the bracket pick the matchups?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be... I think the way that they're doing it is going to work out okay. I mean, it will lead you to some questionable things here because, again, you would have Georgia and Texas playing in the Orange Bowl in the semifinals, doing it another way here. But you know, I think the way that they're looking to go is going to work out okay. It will seem kind of hinky when you see some lower seeds getting some matchups that will cause people to scratch their heads a bit. But, you know, that first weekend, it's pretty easy to see what are some of the games that ESPN is going to want for their games rather than TNT. Oregon-Memphis, I think we can agree. If ESPN can pawn that off onto TNT, they will. And my guess is the other three games here that I see happening, Alabama-Mississippi, believe it or not, they probably pawn that one off as well because they're going to want to keep Texas-Michigan. They're going to want to keep Notre Dame-Oklahoma State. But it's going to be a really, really, really interesting season, a test case, if you will, Fran, for what lies in front of us here. We've been theorizing for years and years and years and years what a system like this would look like, and now we get to see it with our own two eyes.
It's going to be fun to watch. A team I'm going to enjoy watching in the playoffs is Ole Miss. It'll be fun. When Lane Kiffin running gun, it'll be fun to watch. It's going to be exciting because I'm going to want to watch these games. There'll be the action, the activity. The first round in home markets, it's going to be fun. And Rick, there's going to be upsets. I'm not going to go chalk. When we do our college football playoff show, the first four games, you know, in the first round, I'm not going to go chalk. I'm going to pick an upset. I'm not going to just pick the home teams in those markets. That's not happening, Rick.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a slight one. Number 9, Alabama over number 8, Mississippi. But I don't think too many people out there. It's so funny that in NCAA basketball, one of the big cliches for March Madness is, oh, the 5-12 upsets, oh, you know, to where it's a complete cliche at this point, and now it doesn't even seem to play out as often as it did in the past, largely because once everybody knows about something, it stops being something that actually happens. But you're not going to see where it's one bracket as opposed to four regions in NCAA basketball. 5-12 upsets, you will never, ever, ever see them here, because you're looking at probably the runner-up in either the SEC or the Big Ten playing a team from the Group of Five. You'll see an upset where that team loses in their own stadium to a Group of Five team or sometime around the first of never.
I definitely agree with you, Rick. And it seems like we've heard, you know, news stories that why stop at 12? Let's go to 14. What do you think about that? Do we only need 14 teams as playoff, right?
Ridiculous.
More teams for the SEC and Big Ten to get in there?
I don't. I mean, look, I've said before, I don't think we need 12. But it is a thing where I do think that for my fears about the regular season being compromised, because again, say what you will about all this stuff, and again, nobody has ever agreed with me on this. People roll their eyes, but it was a thing where, like, you know, in the 70s and 80s and 90s, particularly in the 80s and 90s, when you started getting more of a prevalence of big-time non-conference games with the scheduling, those would be de facto eliminator games. Like, we need a college football playoff, to which I would say, well, we had a college football playoff game. It was October 3rd, and it was Penn State against Texas, right? Because the loser of that game was out of the mix. And then we don't have that anymore. But with NIL and with the transfer portal, this is a thing where you have sort of the super rich schools that are the powerhouse teams at the top of the SEC and the Big Ten. And so it's one of those things where they're going to be in this kind of no matter what. And to be honest with you, I kind of find that the teams are, I said before, like the Big 12, you're going to have teams really battling all season long to make one of those two spots to make it into the conference championship game so that they can hopefully one way or another make it in. Well, look, even if they do, they're going to be cannon fodder anyways. So I'm not as worked up as I used to be about how a 12-team playoff is going to destroy the regular season, because again, with the power conferences being in place, with the power teams at the top of the power conferences, I kind of feel like it's not going to destroy the relevance of those games necessarily as much. I'd still prefer a 4-team playoff, but I prefer 12 teams to 14. For me, less is always more. You've got people that are like, let's go to 16, let's go to 32, let's go to 64, let's go to 128. No, I think the bigger it gets, the more ridiculous it gets, Fran.
Well, Rick, I will say that it's still, these games, I mean, and, you know, I mean, SEC and Big Ten, the loser gets in regardless, but you want to win those games, so you get that bye, Rick. And as far as, like, the ACC and Big 12 games, I would be less interested in watching. Now I'm going to watch these games more closely because that's basically a playoff game. You get in, you make the playoff, and you lose, you don't. So I might be more intrigued to watch the ACC and Big 12 games because you could be second place, far away, runner up in that division, pull off the upset, and then you get a home playoff game, Rick.
Well,
big accomplishments
that
happens.
The system, the way it is now, I mean, my projection is Florida State making the 3 seed, and I don't think that that's anything based on the way that they played last year. If they play similarly and win the ACC, nobody's really going to raise an eyebrow at that. But you're looking at a situation with Utah as the number 4 seed in my estimation. Look, if it's not Utah, it's going to be Oklahoma State or somebody else like that. So they're going to be a team that if you were just doing power rankings of the teams here, where would they be? 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that ballpark behind the power conference teams. But you're going to have them in that mix there. And that's where, again, I go back to FDH Director of Research Nate Noy saying this, that previously the 3 seed and the 4 seed, especially the 4 seed, really being an underdog from here on in the second round matchups, the quarterfinal matchups, it'll sort of be like, you know what it'll be the equivalent of? It'll be the equivalent of the NFC South in the NFL. You know, that first wild card weekend. Now, again, I realize that Tampa Bay beat Philly last year because Philly had stepped on the banana peel already. But by and large, it's the best wild card team coming in and laying it down to whoever the mediocrity is that comes out of the NFC South. The winner of the Big 12 is not going to be a mediocrity, but I see the same kind of scenario playing out here in the future with these 4 or 5 games.
Well, Rick, it wouldn't shock me if those 3 and 4 teams get upset. It wouldn't shock me in the second round, wherever, like Ole Miss, wherever else gets in there, might be the ACC or Big 12 team.
Very possibly. But any other notes for the season that we didn't get to that you were thinking about, Fran?
Well, as far as like the TV deals, everybody's on the games now. You have your match in November. In October, you get the Conference USA games. So there's going to be games, a bazillion games. Now Friday Night Football, Rick. Now with our wrestling, WWE off of Fox.
Yep.
Fox is going to have some good college football games on Friday Night Nights, Rick. What do you think about that?
that's going to be fun to watch. And again, I know the high school folks aren't real happy because they don't like the competition on Friday nights. But I mean, this is the way the world goes. It's much like the NFL. Nobody cares about any other entity in the world. Tough luck, high school football. The Fox games on Friday night, they're here to stay.
Well, Rick, with the Big Ten teams, it's like going to the Twilight Zone now with basketball teams. You're going to have games all day long you can watch. You're going to have games at noon, 3:30, 7, and 10:30. Rick, you're going to have Big Ten mania is running wild.
Yes. Well, so many conferences go all the way across time zones, and that's what's going to make it really interesting to watch moving forward here. But as always, Fran, a million thanks for being a part of this here today. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Oh, Rick, I'm happy to be on. And like guys, by around the midpoint, halfway point of season, around after the October Cup games, we're going to do a little mid-season report card and tell you what we think.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that. That October 12th is going to be historic. So I'm looking forward to recapping what happened there and in the first half of the season and previewing the second half of the season. Thank you so much, Fran Stuckberry, and thank you all for joining us for this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.